I'm reading for your hearing out of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, verse 24, 25. But I'm reading the voice. 1 Corinthians, 9th chapter, verse 24 through 25. And then go to 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verses 3 through 4 out of the King James Version. Once again, it's 1 Corinthians 9, 24, 25, out of the voice. Then 2 Timothy, 2nd chapter, verse 3 through 4, out of King James Version. This is God's word for God's people. We all know that when there's a race, all the runners bolt for the finish line. But only one will take the prize. When you run, run for the prize. Athletes in training are very strict with themselves, exercising self-control over desires, and for what? For a wreath that soon withers or is crushed or simply forgotten. That is not our race. We run for the crown that we will wear for eternity. So don't run aimlessly. I don't let my eyes drift off the finish line. When I box, I don't throw punches in the air. I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after all this, after I have brought the gospel to others, I will still be qualified to win the race. 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, verses 3 through 4. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one entangled in warfare entangles himself in the affairs of this life. He may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. My Lord, bless this word today. Oh God, the appointment, the assignment that you've given me, bring all things to remembrance, your word, Lord, as we deliver it. Pray that I would decrease in the flesh, and that you would increase and get the glory out of my life. My Lord, let this word permeate the hearts of the hearers, that it may transform their lives, my God, that they can walk in the newness of life, that they can minister this word to someone else, that it may be imparted by the grace of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for it's already done. Oh God, it's sealed with your approval in the atmosphere. In Jesus' name we pray. Let every heart say amen. 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 Maybe seated. I begin to think about this for today because my title is, where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? Looking at the world and what's happening around the world, and those of us that are readers of God's word, the word tells us that in these last and evil days, there's certain things that are going to happen. We already preached on the end times of what should take place, so shouldn't be any crying. We can pray all day, Lord, stop the wars, but the wars will continue because the Bible talks about that. So we can ask God to keep us, my God, keep our minds. Keep us in perfect peace. Keep our homes, my God. Keep our family members. Keep our children. Those are the things we're talking about. Then I begin to think about what's happening today. We are in the time of a new election. My God, what are we going to do? How are we going to vote? Who are the persons that we're going to select? So as a pastor, this is not a political forum for me. So I say to the folk, and I'll say again when the young folk are present, my Lord, let's make sure that we're doing something, because they're the rights that we had to receive from our forefathers that ran before us. And how do we get to where we're at today? But it's not based upon us. It's on the shoulders of other individuals. So we need to be able to recognize that. But that was then. This is now. So where do we go from here? My Lord, but let's talk about the past first, because we need to be able to comprehend the past so we can grow and understand the present and what God is saying to us now in the future. So my thought is like this. We have choices in life. I am so taken back by folk when they say, well, this is the way that I am. This is the life that I choose. And I'm not talking about anything specifically. I'm making this all general, because we want to do what we want to do when we want to do it. And I often say, whatever the situations are, believe that every situation, there would be consequences for it, whether there's positive or negative. That is something that we must comprehend. So in the choices that we have, there are three of them that I came up with. Three of them. We can make the choice to do nothing, to stay just as we are. Be complacent, do nothing. See, because a lot of us have aspirations, but you'll never go anywhere doing nothing. If you stay in the place doing the same old things, you're going to get the same old results. And you're going to be the crybaby sitting there by yourself, because I'm going to leave you. I'm not going to sit there with you. Neither am I going to have you minister that to me or call me and ask me for prayer. I'm going to tell you need to be praying on your own, because the Bible says that we all have the ability to pray. You're not going to wear me down crying on my shoulder. I'm not going to do that, because the water that you need to water the plant with it, or save them tears for something else. I'm going to tell you that in the beginning. We're not going to do that. And see, that's what we do too often. I don't want to babysit you. I don't want to play with you anymore. I want you to get into your word, read your word like I can, because you're literate and you have the ability to do that. Let's do that. We have choices to do nothing and stay where we're at. Or we have the choice to go in reverse and holding on to the past. Have you ever met anybody and all they do is talk about the past? Where I went here. Where we used to live over there, what we used to have. We used to have that 5-bedroom house. Well, I just traveled. I did go that back there. I went to Las Vegas over here. What you used to do. God bless you for where you've been. Where you going now? What you focusing on today? How you going to get to where you need to go today? I don't want to hear that about yesterday. Stories that we have are most memorable, and we need to have those. My God, but that should not be our total conversation. Our projection should be on what are we doing for the future in our lives. And it's not based upon numbers. When I think of Colonel Sanders developed Kentucky Fried Chicken at the age of 60. My God. So it's not based upon numbers. It's based upon you pursuing your dream and getting to where you want to go. But the faith in God gives us the tenacity and the fortitude to move forward. My third one is with the choice that we have, the choice that we have to move forward. My God. And I say for the folk in this, under the sound of my voice, get up and go. It's time to get up and go. Not say, well, I'm going to write. Not say, I'm going to do this. Not say, I'm going to do this. Oh, we're going to do this. You keep going. You keep going. All you're doing is going. You're just going and going and doing nothing. That's all you're doing. It's just like a round circle. Just turning and you're doing absolutely nothing, because you know what? You want to hear yourself talk, because don't nobody else want to hear. All the other friends that you have scattered because they don't want to hear, because they're so accustomed to hearing the same thing from you. They don't want to hear it any longer. Okay, let's just be realistic, because that's the way it is. So let's talk about some of our heroes of the past, who they were and how we are standing on their shoulders, because we've been blessed by the work that they've already put out there for us. When I think of Benjamin Banneker, an astronomer in the 1700s, and we have the Benjamin Banneker Almanac from Benjamin Banneker, smart man, a clockmaker and a publisher. My God, we have Sojourner Truth. What was she? An abolitionist who believed in freedom and says, I'm going to be free. She didn't just say, I believe in freedom. She says, I'm going to be free. And so what I think about them, and when we think about the growth of where we're going to go, we have to think about it in the natural as well as the spiritual as well. Because the Bible says, first natural, then spiritual. We have to be able to comprehend that. So that means that it takes some action. We got to get up and do something. My God, faith and works. Faith and works are marriage. They're combined together. Church got to get busy and quit talking about what we're going to do and where we're going to go. Time to get there. My God, get there to where you want to go. Oh, Sojourner Truth, an abolitionist who saved other folk. And see, things about us in the natural, when you know you are gifted by God, you don't want to contain all of that by yourself. You want to transfer that into somebody else. So not only was she free, but she says, I'm going to help to free others. Because I've got the ability and the power, because I believe in God. But God, he makes all things possible. Then we have Nat Turner in the 1800s, a rebellious leader who went out and charged and went out to save the folk. We have Frederick Douglass, an abolitionist, an editor, a writer, a statesman, a reformer. We have Harriet Tubman, another writer and an abolitionist. We have her. Booker T. Washington, a political leader. Madam J.C. Walker, who invented what the products, the hair care products for black folk, a millionaire in her time. My Lord, an African-American woman. What was she in the 1800s into the 1900s, early 1900s. So we're doing something. Folk are thinking. Folk are not just thinking. They're doing something as a people. So we need to know our history and know who we are. My God, Langston Hughes, a poet. Everybody knows Langston Hughes from the 1900s to 1967. Then we have Thurgood Marshall, a jurist, the first African-American who served as a jurist. What? On the U.S. Supreme Court. Very important for us to note that we do that. Jesse Owens, a four-time gold medalist, Olympian. My God, we need to know that. Ella Fitzgerald, why was it so important to know Ella Fitzgerald? 13 Grammy Awards did she win way back when. Oh God, the voice that she would have. My God, not just singing, she sang. Some folk just sang. When you go to a concert, you want somebody to sing. I done paid $80, $90 to $100 to see you. You better sing. You better sing or I'm going to the front and I'm going to look at you. I need my money back. Because that's how you feel when you leave there. Let's just tell the truth. That's how we feel. You know, we got James Baldwin, a writer, a novelist. Shirley Chisholm, the first African-American woman, went into the Congress. These are notable individuals that we need to make note of. We need to know our history. Medgar Evers, a civil rights activist. Then we have Malcolm X. Everybody knows Malcolm X, a Lizzie of Islam leader that he was, who did not believe in just being called Negro, says, no, you can't call me Negro any longer because that's slang and that's derogatory toward me. Call me Black. Because that's who I am and that's how I feel. And then we left from there and we went on and he says, because that's derogatory. Because you enslaved my brothers and sisters and you gave them that. They went from color to Negro, then to Black. And eventually we moved over into something else. We're going to talk about that a little bit more too. But this is how these individuals felt. And they made a difference. They didn't just talk about it. They walked in it. So I say to the young folk today, you have destiny and you have purpose. And it's time to make a choice to walk in it. Then we have Maya Angelou, a poet, a novelist, a rights activist, who she was known for, as God's children needs traveling shoes, and why I know why the caged bird sings, who talks about her life and her books, my God, and lets you know that even though I've been abused and I've gone through something, I no longer let the abuse take control of me. See, that's the excuse that we like to make. When I look at folk on television, now you hear all the stars coming out. Well, I was raped and I was abused and I was this. And we all come out of dysfunctional families, let's face it. And it's not because you're a celebrity and you came out of something that's dysfunctional. African American homes, all of our families were dysfunctional. We lived in a ghetto, we lived in a dysfunctional environment. That's what we did. But we learned how to overcome that. The rats and the roaches was running around in the neighborhood like soldiers. They had position. They said, give me my clothing, because that's what they lived at every single day. Let's just be realistic. And some folk can't comprehend that. Went to my brother's house, and we were sitting down. We coming in to have a snack and get some water or something. And all the lights was off, and he turned the kitchen on, and the ceiling was filled. I said, I don't want no water in here. Get me out of here. I want none of this, not at all. Went on back home. But it was a reality for us, my God. We didn't go out and talk about, they had an infestation of roaches because somebody else down the street had some too. And if you didn't exterminate your house in the ghetto, you had some too. But thank God my parents exterminated every 30 days to keep them things out because they were coming in. It's an infestation. So now I say that, we say that jokingly, how do we protect our own spiritual lives, my God? Because if you don't spray in the natural around in your environment, the insects and all the other things are coming in because you haven't put up a repellent. My God, so that means that you've got to be clothed in righteousness. You've got to put up a spiritual repellent in Jesus. First natural, then spiritual. But we're not thinking about that. So anything can't come in and anything can't penetrate when it wants to. How do we let the enemy just come in at any time? In my home, I said this and I shouldn't have said that. My God, I didn't want to do that. Oh my God, we can't let him keep coming in like that. That's no longer an excuse for us. But I said, we got choices. Let's walk in the choices. Then we have no one other than Martin Luther King. I have a dream. Oh my God, the dream that he would have and the speeches that he would make, my God, and what an indelible impression that he would leave upon our hearts, my Lord. What he did, what he lived by, and how he believed in peace. African-American history starts in the 16th century. How we were captured and brought into America by the Spanish. And then later on in the 17th century, the English in Northern American colonies captured us and enslaved us to do work. My God, worked for not, we were not even paid for. Beaten and just called black people, colored people. We were called colored people at that time. Colored people, because see, they had red folk here. Colored folk, us of a darker skin, we were called colored folk at that time. Oh, but what helped us as we went along in time, we had the ability to fight in civil wars. And so that put us at the forefront of the lines. Even though we were at the front of the lines, we endured. My God, so we had to use wisdom in the natural. I want y'all to stay with me today. We had to use wisdom in order to get ourselves out of situations. They just didn't happen. But even in using the wisdom, we were persecuted. Like the Bible says that we shall be persecuted all the day long for his sake. There's no escape for us, my Lord, because the enemy is on your heels, my Lord. We got to be able to understand that. Then we have the Naturalization Act of 1790, limited U.S. citizens to whites only. Whites only could only have the privileges to do certain things that we had absolutely none. They learned to put it in law, to write it down. My God, and put it down like that. Oh, God. But then here are the circumstances that came about and developed a change for us. Reconstruction after the Civil War period, after of the South, when the wars had taken place. Then we had the development of black communities, folk coming together, and we learned how to talk to one another and say, what's going on over here? What's happening over there? We've learned how to educate ourselves. My Lord Jesus, years ago, you couldn't find the numbers of individuals with not only master's degrees, several of us sitting in a room with master's degrees. My God, several of us with PhDs, 5 and 6 African-American brothers and sisters coming together as a group, learning how to study together, collaborate, and graduate together. That's saying something right there. We're talking. So now we've learned how to develop communities. We're doing something a little different, participating in great military conflicts, being on the forefront of the lines, participating in segregation laws and getting those things initiated like in 1954 with the Brown versus the Board of Education and dividing that segregation. My Lord, saying that your child is no better than my child because we all equal. Well, when you bleed, it's all red. It doesn't matter if you're a different color over here, you white, you black, you oriental. It doesn't matter what persuasion you are. When you're cut, we all bleed the same. So why should you learn anymore, live any better than I live? So we came into the knowledge, not only coming into the knowledge, we said we got to do something. My God, we got to do something. People of God, faith and works going together. Black Lives Matter. Here we are in today's society, in the 21st century, and we're saying Black Lives Matter because of being suppressed. My God, being stopped by police officers. It doesn't matter what nationality the police officer is either. My God, oppression comes more so from your own than from somebody else. My God, you got to be careful. Tell my son, drive it in the nighttime. Don't drive anywhere in the nighttime. Make sure you go to the destination, come home. We live in a rural white county. Let's be realistic. My God, you can be stopped at any time. Don't be smart. Don't say anything out of the norm. Yes, no. You don't have to say no, sir. You don't have to say yes, sir. I've never believed in that. You say no and yes. I'm respecting you. That's enough. That's what I say. But if you feel that you need to do that, then you go one step further. Yes and no is appropriate. I'm not going to address you negatively. You want my... Yes, I got it for you. Yes, here's this over here. Yes, I want your badge number two. I want everything I need to get about you. While you getting mine, I want to get yours too. Those are the things we need to do. We need to be smart about things. We need to know what's happening in the world today as other individuals are being killed, mindless, senseless killings that are going on around the world. But see, we only see the actions of the events that are taking place. We got to see a bigger picture in God. What is God trying to say? Then when I do this, when I allow this to happen, when the enemy would come in, I'm allowing communities to come together like never before. The enemy couldn't come in and take anything from Job unless the Lord allowed it. He would go to Jesus. He would go to the Father and he would say, hey, there's your son Job. But if you could, I could go in and I can do these things to him if you were to remove this hedge of protection around him. So God would say, I'll remove this, but you can't take his soul. Oh, no, you can't do that. But you can do all these other things. And all of that Job had gone through, Job still didn't deny God. He questioned God. But he never denied him. And he lost family. He lost stock. He lost all animals. He lost all his friends, my God, because everybody say they walking with you, ain't walking with you. You got to understand that when times get tough, that's when you know who's by your side. That's when you get to see the real friend, when you ain't got none, but when you got something and your cupboard is full and everybody's coming over, then it's okay. But when you have absolutely nothing, that's when the real friend kick in. Yeah. Oh, that's what you want. That's what you want to see, because I want to know if you can endure the test of time.
Yeah.
And so young folk need to be able to comprehend that and get that too. So not only do black lives matter, but all lives matter according to God. God says that I wish that none would perish and all would come unto repentance. So we need to bring our minds into that. But as a black father, I'm concerned about my own and the oppression that is upon my children. So we need to be able to speak from our positions in life. That's what I can talk about. But as a pastor, my love is general for everybody. My Lord, but in reality, I see what's going on in the world. Let's make note of that. We need to speak from it from this place. From this place. Let's talk about it. What's in a name? What's in a name so important that we note that what's in a name? The Bible says over in Ecclesiastes 7:1, what's in a name? A good name is better than precious ornament, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Let's begin to think about this from the perspective of when a person dies, how we highlight them in celebration. What we do is that we go back into the past and we begin to talk about all the wonderful things that they've done. Now, a lot of times at a lot of funerals is a whole bunch of lies, because we want to talk about and to build them up so that everybody else would know what has gone on with them. Yeah, I said it like that because we do. So when I actually do someone's service, I want to know about their character. I want to come and ask the folk who they are and how they live. When I did my uncle's funeral, I didn't talk about all these other wonderful things, glorified things. I talked about, he was a gambler, because that's what he was. He was a gambler. He loved to gamble every single day. He was the last of the Mohicans. That's who he was. That's who his character was. Let's talk about and embrace the person's character. He lived his life the way he wanted to. To God be the glory. Only God has final say in judgment. So once we die, the Bible says that our spirit returns unto the Lord, and then our bodies return to dust, and then judgment takes place within to the Lord. My Lord, we need to understand God's word. For God's people. Understand. So what's in a name so important that Negro superseded the word color? That's what was so important for us to be able to understand. So after that, we were called color. Then we were called Negro after that time, because that's what someone else selected for us as a name. Very important for us to know that Negro's name became very popular in the 1960s after the American Civil Rights Movement. Very important. And then Malcolm X noted that, he says, well, I don't want us to be called Negro any longer. I choose not to do that, for I feel that that was a name that oppressed us. That's a name that somebody else gave us. My Lord Jesus, we need to be moving in another movement. My God. So he says, now we're going to move from Negro. We're going to be called Black now. I'm saying Black. That's where we get Black power from, moving in that era and understanding that. So we moved on, and as we progressed on moving from the 60s into the 90s, then the census changed for us in the 90s, where African Americans was placed on our census during that time. As we progressed on 10 years after that, they added on the list because other folk were complaining, and several folk did not complete their census because they said Black was not on the census, so they didn't complete it. They didn't check the box. So they used wisdom and they put Black and African American on the actual census. My God, so we would be all inclusive to capture everybody. Everybody thinks differently. My God, so you're going to take that from that. And I've been called Black all the time. This is what I call myself. So we'll make it all inclusive so we can capture everybody. We need to be able to understand that. So we got to understand that the Negro term is still used today. It's used because it's the name that people had solidified from way back in. What is that? The United Negro College Fund. We still keep that because we identify with that. The Negro League, we identify with that. So we still keep things that are present in our minds. Now, not only that, to see how we graduated, where we come from. So important to note that. Where did this African American History Month come from? So important to note. Carver G. Woodson was a friend of W.E.B. Du Bois and actually came up with this himself. In 1925, he said we need to have a Negro History Week. In 1925, but it actually wasn't established over until the next year of 1926. Then we actually developed and we had an African American History Week at that time. But following his death came along in 1950, it became a central part of everybody's life, livelihood, where everybody, notable African Americans, took note to this and says, we have an African American History Week. We want something a little bit more. And it became dominant during that time. And folk were really participating and doing things and talking about their character, talking about their growth. And later on, we came to the consensus in 1976 under the leadership of President Gerald R. Ford that we established a month in writing for Black History Month, that we celebrate who we are, because the president said we need to recognize the oppression and how Black folk were enslaved to where they are today. So we want to celebrate that for an entire month. We need to make note of that. Where we come from, how we were segregated, how we were oppressed, how we were beaten, my Lord Jesus, killed, molested, Jesus, enslaved in our minds to the freedom that we have now. So we ride the shoulders of our forefathers, of our ancestors, and let's not make lightly note of that at all, because we've been blessed to be in a position that we're in today. Dreams, we all have dreams. I won't be long, y'all. I'm almost done. We all have dreams. We dream. Illustration of a couple of folks that have dreams. And dreams can be strange sometimes. There was a brother by the name of Elias Howe. And he was the first inventor of a sewing machine. He just couldn't figure out himself where to locate the eye of the needle. He just couldn't figure that out. So he was dreaming. He went and he dreamed one night, and he dreamed that he was surrounded by guards carrying unusual spears. And the spears pierced near the head, his head. He saw that as it was coming toward his head. When he woke up the next morning, he said, the eye of the needle needs to be at the top of the needle, at the head of the needle. Visions. God gives us visions with a purpose. So sometimes we need to sit back and say, what are you saying to me? Even in a dream, he's speaking to us. Amazing that he would do that. He took that dream that Abraham Lincoln would have. Abraham Lincoln dreamed that in one night that he was walking down a corridor, and he's walked into a corridor. It was a dark area that he was walking into. He walked into the area and he says, what's going on in this area? And he talked to the guys, and the guy said, there's a funeral going on. And the guy would turn to him and says, whose funeral is it? And the guy would turn to him and say, it's Abraham Lincoln's funeral. 1 week before he died, it's recorded that he dreamed his own death, that he was dead. Dreams. Dreams can also be dangerous sometimes. There was another man dreaming one night. He's dreaming about marshmallows, how much he loved marshmallows. And he was just in his sleep just imagining chewing those marshmallows. Anybody ate marshmallows? I used to love marshmallows, but they didn't love me. I was eating the bags of marshmallows all the time, every other day or every week. I'd go get me a bag of marshmallows. Next thing I know, within 30 days, I was like this. My jaws were like marshmallows. Okay? So the man was dreaming about marshmallows is all he was doing. He was dreaming about the marshmallows and the taste of them. He had had some previously and he wanted some more. He woke up the next morning and turned over. His pillow had been ripped and he ate all the feathers inside his pillow. Because he was thinking he was chewing on something in the nighttime, he was swallowing the feathers inside his pillow. It was cotton in there. He thought he was chewing on the marshmallows. We've got to be careful. Have you ever fought in your dreams, woke up fighting in your sleep? Because you're like, I'm in a battle. What am I in a battle with? What's going on? Different things happen to us. It's dangerous in the nighttime. My wife said, what was you doing last night? I said, I can't tell you who I was wrestling with. You don't want to know. You don't want to know, honey. I was wrestling with somebody you don't even want to know. Just pray for me, my God. But I won the battle. I need you to know that. Dreams are dangerous. My God, and sometimes they can be wonderful. And so what we need to do, we need to ask the Lord, help me through this interpretation. What am I dreaming about? My Lord, I'm staying with the message, y'all. Stay with me. Continue to dream. This is what Martin Luther King would say to us as a people. I want you to dream. But where do we go from here? Because he had already laid the foundation for us. He says, there's one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. One day it would do that. There's one day in the Red Hills of Georgia, the sons and daughters of former slaves and owners will sit down together in the table of brotherhood. One day, even the state of Mississippi, they'll all come together and justice will ring without the land. Oh, one day our four children, talking about his children, will all come together and not be judged by the color of their skin. He dreamed. He had a dream. And the dream was that this would become a possibility. It would become a reality for all folk today. What are you dreaming about? I say to the church, do you have any dreams and any aspirations? Where do we go from here? Because we can no longer keep dreaming his dream. What's your dream? Do you have any dreams? Do you have any aspirations? You got to have some. Especially our young folk. We got to have some dreams. We got to have some aspirations. Where do we go from here? Now, think about this. This is what I think about. We have the abilities. And I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about you all. I'm talking about me. I've been blessed. I was an honor student. As a young folk, graduated with honors. Out of 276 students, I graduated 6 of my class in high school. I got my bachelor's degree. Sitting on a master's in counseling, my God, I got a good paying job, unhappy. Anybody with me? Y'all better stay with me, church. But I've got all these aspirations. I've done all these wonderful things. So I say to the young folk too, don't aspire, don't get all these degrees and wonderful things and still go into a job and be unhappy. What are you going to do with what you got? Where do we go from here? So in aspiring to get where I'm at, I've got to have some plan to move in the direction of where I want to be. I don't want you to take and be the dominant person leading my life. The Bible says to us, God says that I need you to be at the forefront. He says, I blessed you and called you out as a people to be the head and not the tail. That's where we miss it. We got to read God's word, walk in it, absorb it, and say, now it's time to do something about it because we got the power to do it. He says, I want you to be the lender and not the borrower. My God, we're going to get loans. We need to be giving out loans. Church, I'm speaking. Amen. We've got to position ourselves for that. My Lord. So no longer am I just swallowed up into your dream, King. My God, I'm walking in my own dreams and passions. Where do we go from here, church? Where do we go, people of God? Where do you go, my God? What has God called you to do? My Lord, we've got to open up our ear. In Revelations, the Bible speaks, and God says clearly to the churches, as he's speaking to the churches, he said, hey, in the churches, hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the churches. Now, he's not talking to the body, the infrastructure. He's talking to the individuals. He's talking to you. God knows you by your name. He's calling out your name. So he's saying to you, where do you go from here? And if you don't know, you ought to sup and spend some time with me so that I can give you some directions. So King was saying, I have a dream today in his era, in his time. And I'm saying to the church today, where do we go from here? What dream do you have? What passion do you have? Because it's never too late to fulfill on your passion. Then he said, as he was ending in that speech, he came back and says, and let freedom ring. Oh, God, let freedom ring. So when I hear that, I'm saying, oh, what's ringing down on the inside of you? My God, anything stirred up on the inside of you? As a people of God, there ought to be some passion down on the inside of us that those spiritual gifts are just leaping all over the place if we're connected with God in any kind of way. Oh, God is speaking, but the church isn't listening. Oh, God. And then God says to us as we move forward, because we're no longer in a state of being stagnant where I don't know where I'm going. When we started out, we talked about that. Well, I don't want to do nothing. I don't want to be in that state, in that category. Neither do I just want to talk about the past any longer because I know that I'm bigger than the past. Now we're talking about moving forward. So this is where we're going now. I'm going in a direction and I'm going forward. I know what God has for me because I petitioned him and I'm, I got got my face toward the wall and I'm praying to God, God, hear the cries of the righteous. Because that's what God said that he would do. He would hear us, my God. If ye be willing and obedient, my God said that. He says, before the earth perishes, not one word, not one jot or tittle of my word will return unto me void. That's the word of God for the people of God. But the word says to the church, over in John 1 and 12, God speaks to his people. He says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power. Oh, we got to understand the power that we possess in order to move in the realm that God has called us into. He says, I give you power to become the sons of God, that you've been adopted over into this royal priesthood, that you're not just walking in the natural, you're walking with the ability of God, and all things are possible to them. That all things are possible. In the church, we begin to say, but God, but I begin to say, only God can do this. Nobody else can do it like my God. Where do we go from here, church? My God, where do we go? Moving forward. Then he says, I want you to be called the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. See, there's something about a name. Woo, Jesus. Oh, something about the name of Jesus. Oh, something about the name of Jesus. Power in the name of Jesus. Even the unsaved riding in a car when an accident will occur will say, Jesus. Oh, because everything has to stop at the name of Jesus. There's something about the name of Jesus that's powerful within itself. My God. Oh, when I don't know what to do and I'm perplexed, I just say, Jesus. In the midst of the storm, I just begin to say, Jesus. Oh, while I'm riding in my car by myself, I begin to say, Jesus, my God. When I don't understand the direction of the church, I begin to say, Jesus, my God. And peace just enters in. Peace that passeth all understanding. I don't have to understand it. I just need to acknowledge the power. That's what he said to the church. Just acknowledge me. Acknowledge the power. Keep our focus now. Keep our focus. Moving forward, it requires three things I want to leave you with. You got to remain focused. Moving forward, we got to remain focused. Our primary focus is to God. Oh, John 5 and 19 says, the truth is that the Son does nothing on his own. All these actions are led by the Father. The Son watches the Father closely and then mimics the work of the Father. This is in the voice. My God. So if Jesus is doing that, and Jesus has said, I've come to take on the sins of the world, my God, and the only way to get to the Father is through the Son, is what the Word says, then we ought to be mimicking the character of Christ. Moving forward, we ought to stay focused. When I don't know what to do, then I lean on Jesus. When I don't know what to do, then I call on the name of Jesus. When I don't know what to do, I open up my word and read my word for instructions. My God, when I don't know what to do, my God, I'm praying like never before. My face is turned toward the wall and I begin to say, God, send help, send help. And he will send his angels to encamp around about you and give you security and strength in the time of trouble. My God is a very present help in the time of trouble. Oh, we've got to trust him like never before. So what is he saying? Where do we go from here? You got to keep your focus like never before. Oh, God, that's what we got to do. First, seek ye the kingdom of heaven, is what he's saying. And all these other things shall be added unto you, is what he's saying to us. Let's get focused, church. Let's not lose sight of what God says we shall go from here. He's got a plan for every individual in this room. Number two, moving forward requires some type of failure. But failure does not say that I need to wallow in it. My God, Jesus. And then failure for me, it does not mean that I'm going to stay right there. It means that I've made a mistake. And this experience brings about new hope. That's what James was talking about. Oh, we shall have struggles and things that we go through. And at the end of the verse, he says, and this experience brings about hope. Is what he's saying to the church. My God, let's understand that Henry Ford, known for the building up of cars, he lost all that he had five times. everything, lost every dime he had five times succeeding to move forward. How bad do you want to move forward, church? How bad do you want to succeed, my Lord, in the name of Jesus? How bad? Edison failed for 1.5 years. In those 1.5 years, he had 1,000 unsuccessful attempts at inventing the light bulb. 1,000 unsuccessful attempts. But he kept pursuing because he had a dream. And he said, this shall come to pass. My Lord, we got to think about that. Oprah faced hardship. She talked about her abuse. But what does she now? She owns the network. My God, you got to pursue to get where you want to go. Oh, that encouraged me. I thought about Babe Ruth. He had 714 home runs, but he struck out 1,330 times. The home runs outweighed the failures, the strikeouts. That's what we got to look at. We can't wallow in the failures any longer. Where do we go from here, church? Where do we go from here? The last one is, moving forward requires faith. I say to the church, and this is my own personal quote, and God has just, drenched me with this. He said to me, he said, Marco, I need you to wear your faith like your flesh. The way you get dressed up every day, I need you to put on faith every single day. Understand that it's a part of your character, it's who you are, and that's how you got to speak. My God, you say I can't have it, I say I can. My God, you said that it's impossible, I say all things are possible through my God. When you're talking to me at work, that's how I talk. I used to talk like that. Because my thing was at work, I don't want to talk about God. I don't want anybody to think I'm a holy roller. I don't want them to know that I'm a minister. I didn't even tell half the folk I was a minister half the time. I didn't do that. Because I didn't want them to look at me from that point of view. Look at me from that point of view. That's who God called me to be. And I'm proud of it. When we're talking about my resume, I'm talking about my appraisal. In the appraisal room, I talked about Jesus. I said to my boss, I'm so blessed. I appreciate what you put down there on the paper. But I'm so blessed, and it's only because of God. She couldn't comprehend that. God's got control. But I wouldn't talk about that before. She put all the negatives over there. She says, what did you think about him? I said, that's not who I am. That's what you put down here. And it's okay. Because that's not who I am. I know who I am in God. God says differently. Just pay me on the 6th and the 21st. That's all I'm asking for. No, this is very irrelevant. So what God is saying to us in the spiritual realm for us as his children, let's not make the small things big. We make them bigger than God. We get to talking about them. Those things just tear us apart like nothing before. We get to talking about it. We get to build it up. But God says, I got something else in store for you. Let's not lose focus. My God, failure for us is going to happen. But the successes mean more than the failures. And let's walk in faith. This is the scripture on faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. And they that believe must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Church got to get busy. If you want something, you got to put your face there like never. But I pray more than I've ever prayed in my life. But see, it isn't because I've been called to a pastor. That's part of it. But it's because I love him more than I love myself. It is because of God. And so we do these things because of him. More than anything else. So the word tells us, as I'm closing out with God's word, it tells us in the word that I started out with in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 and 25, and then I'm closing after this. We all know that when there's a race, all the runners bolt for the finish line, but only one will take the prize. Only one. See yourself in this race now. Imagine, with wings of your imagination, come and go with me, everybody. Imagine yourself in this race that you're in. When you run, run for the prize. Run for what your dream is. My God, put your dream before you. Train for it. Prepare for it. Write the plan out. Get prepared. I'm preparing for the restaurant now. Every place I go, I write down a new dish. I got a brand new dish for a Brussels sprout that will make your hair stand on top of your head. Jesus, my God. Every place I go, I call to the back. My boy said, why you do that? Ask the chef, can he come out here? What was that dish? What was in that dish? I go home and duplicate that dish. I make it my own. in my restaurant that have my signature on it. But I've learned from somebody else. Because I didn't complete cooking school all the way through. But I got a dream. And it shall come to fruition. You got to plan it. You got to talk about it. I got one plan. God said, that's not the plan. Getting ready to redo the plan. The business is already mine. And God said to me, don't be surprised if the business comes at the same time the church comes. Because to whom much is given, much is required. I got that too. Got that vision. He says, time to let go. And so what he's saying to me as a leader, you got to lead from the forefront to walk in this faith. And the church needs to see action. We can't talk about stuff and that nothing present itself. It's got to present itself as a people. So folk are looking at us too at the forefront. Where do we go from here? What are you doing about all the stuff you said you were going to do? Where are those hidden dreams and those passions that you've had? Don't put them on the back burner. Time to pull them out. I come to pull them out of you today. Let's go back to the word. And he says, athletes are in training. You're in training for preparation to get to where you got to go. Okay? You got to be very strict about this. Self-discipline has to take place within you. This is not our race. We run for the crown that we will wear for eternity. So now, not only am I doing things in the natural, as I said before, first natural, then spiritual. I do these things in the natural to give me a clearance and freedom to run in the spirit. Those of us that are enslaved and working jobs, we are indentured servants. We're getting paid for the time that we're in there and we're still restricted. God's saying when you run this race first in the natural to clear up everything, it opens the doors for you in the spiritual to give you all the time that you need to do the work for me. Oh, people, church got to hear. We got to teach like that. Prosperity just don't come just because you got a car. That's not being prosperous. God will bless anybody with a car. My God, your credit can be, you can have score 52 and God will bless you with a car. That ain't nothing. That ain't nothing. But what I found out when God gave me a church, paid for, that's something. Totally paid for. I heard God said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you beyond measure. I'm waiting for that manifestation, but in the time I'm preparing. In the time of having the church, while I'm writing out the plan for another church, I wrote the entire book on the church because they never had anything organized for the church. My God, I wrote the entire book, order of services, just everything, every ministry, everything. I'm thinking I'm writing it for them, and God said, you're really writing it for yourself. I left them a year later, took my book right with me because the book was really for me. He helps you through the plan and you really don't even know it. Got to pay attention. Open up your spiritual ears so you can hear. I'm working through this. When I box, I don't throw punches in the air. I discipline my body and make it a slave. Church, let's talk about this. Let's talk about this. There are certain things that we need to do as a people. Now, I'm borderline diabetic. I'm only speaking to me. I can't go home and eat that dressing, that potato salad, give me some mashed potatoes on the side, throw a homemade biscuit on there, drink that sweet tea. After that, come back and say, I'm going to have me a slice of that blueberry cake that Sister Kashano gave me that just went straight to my head. Okay, I had to eat it in 3 days and then go and drop my diabetic pill. Okay. Now, we say that jokingly. It's a reality for us as a people. We're in control. We got to act like we're in control. I know I can't have that drink, and I know that I can't eat all those pastas and all those. I just don't do it. But we can have it in moderation. We just can't have it all. Let's take control. That's where we go from here. Focus. Focus. Get ourselves together. Let's get some focus. My God, because somebody else is watching you. I'm sitting at a party, and everybody's taking metformin. Everybody's taking, all the seniors in my age group, taking metformin. I said, the devil's a lie. I ain't taking none. I ain't taking none because I'm going to balance my body. My doctor calling me. I ain't taking none. I'm going to balance my body. That's a faith walk. That's a faith walk. I'm walking by faith. God said that he would keep me in perfect peace if when my mind stayed on him. It is my desire that I would prosper and be in good health even as my soul prospers. That's what the word of God says. So I give him back his word. My God, and I'm doing the things that I need to do. Now, there may be a moment that I may have to take it, but it won't be because I put it all upon myself. Something else may break down, and that this may be the will of God, my Lord. But it won't be because I did it, my Lord. Let's take some controls. That's all I'm saying. Oh, he's saying that. He says, I discipline my body and make it a slave. So let's make our bodies a slave to the will of God. Jesus, we don't want, that's what I was talking about earlier, commitment. Folks don't want commitment. Folks don't even want commitments in relationships. Everybody talking about they want a relationship. You better listen to the underlying factors of what they're talking about. Folk don't want to live up to relationships and those expectations because it takes some work. And folk don't want to put in the work. So if you don't want to put in the work, don't put in the time, don't call me. That's the way it ought to be. Let's be real about it because it takes some work. Let's move on. He says, I brought the gospel to others that I will still be qualified to win the race. I want to bring it to you all, my God. But at the top of my game, I want to be an example for the church to let you know that all things are possible. So therefore, I got to get busy, church. So I'm doing a little something. I think I'm doing something. God said, you ain't doing nothing. Oh, I need to stretch you a little bit more. That's what he said to me in the last couple of days. In 2 days, I finished that 501c3 from cover to cover. Woo, nothing but Jesus. Nothing but Jesus from cover. Nobody but God. And the third day, I was so tired, I didn't know what to do. But God, and only God, can do it and get it done. Because my focus was on Jesus. I said, Lord, if somebody else can do it and I can pay them, you've given me the intelligence and the ability. Allow me to get it done. Let me jot every dot every I, cross every T in the name of, seal it with your blood, Jesus. Every work that we have, we need to commit it to God. That's what he's saying to the church. Let's get it right, church. My God, where do we go from here? That's what he's saying. I'm coming to a close. And then the last one in Timothy, he says, I want to give you God's word. My God, it isn't enough that I'm just talking about it. I got to give you God's word. My Lord, the last verse. You therefore must endure the hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Understanding God says that we should be persecuted all the days long for his sake. Don't think the trouble ain't going to come, but God says trouble won't last always. My God, he who endures to the end shall win this prize of a crown, the crown with just your name on it. Where do we go from here, church? You go wherever you want to go in God. If you present yourself as your body as a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service, he's saying to you. He says, you can do anything. All things are possible to them that believe. I want to preach that to the church because somebody hear me today. Every yoke is broken and destroyed in the name of Jesus that's got us suppressed. Every yoke is destroyed and broken that's got us depressed. My God, every oppression that's against us in the name of Jesus, I stand in the power of the Holy Ghost decreeing that all things are possible to them that believe. Do you not believe? Where do you go from here, church? Oh, ask yourself that. And time to walk in the favor of God. If we say we love him, he's given us the power to endure. That's God's word for God's people today. God bless you. My Lord, God's word for God's people. Where do we go?